Hello, everyone. This is Clarissa Bell, and today is Tuesday, August the 10th. And as always, we're going to start off with a brief centering meditation just to anchor us into our time together. So if you're able to do so, just gently close your eyes, become aware of your breathing, and just take in these words. We open in total trust that everything the universe brings us is a gift of love and support. We feel deep appreciation for these gifts and unconditionally accept them all. We see the activities of our day as an experience and expression of our expanded soul awareness and rejoice in all of them exactly as they are. We feel the abundance bestowed upon us by the universe and joyfully accept all the richness inherent in them. And we are ever committed to an increasing, expanding awareness of who we really, truly are. And so it is. So today's topic is going to be transcending the creation of good and bad. Over the past month, we've been talking about resistance and how resistance creates suffering, and that the root of resistance is our creation of bad. And it's, for those of you who have not heard those lessons, I believe that they're in teleclasses for July 13th and July 27th, where I've discussed this. And so it would be a great idea to listen to those as well, because they're a precursor to what I'm going to talk about now. So resistance creates suffering, and the root of resistance is our creation of bad. Thus, bad is the doorway to suffering. And it's really just impossible to suffer without first having created an opinion of bad. Just think about it. If you don't have an opinion that something is bad, just notice how you feel. Notice what happens in your energy field, in your body, in your emotions. There's not really any kind of negative reaction to it. But it's this idea that something is bad, or this opinion that something is bad, that actually begins to create this negative experience, and then we begin to resist the negative experience we're having. And we discussed in those classes how there really is no objective good or bad, that there's not one thing that you can get everybody to agree is good or bad outside of ourselves. So, thus, nothing is good or bad except in our minds and by our creation of it. We are actually the creator of what's good and bad in our experience. And we have created a lot of bads, both in our physical universe and in our psychological, mental, and emotional universe, which is what I'm calling our psychanic universe. It's our interior inner experience, and it includes thoughts, emotions, beliefs, identities. And so we create bad around many, many things. I mean, if you just look all around, we create them around things like guns and drugs and gambling and viruses. We create bad around events, murders, accidents, illnesses. We even create bad around our negative emotions and our behaviors. Oh, it's bad to be angry. It's bad to be sad. All of these things. And we even think it's bad to think a certain way. So we're just drowning in a sea of bads. But the most important bad that we create is the bad that we create about ourselves, the bad that we're creating about these identities that we have formed. And it goes something like this. So we create an identity, and then we label that identity as bad. And since our identity is who we're being, we're basically labeling ourselves as bad. An example of an identity would be, I am weak. And then the bad, it's bad to be weak. And so then we go about resisting the I am weak. So you could say every creation of bad leads to resistance and hence suffering. And if you look really carefully, you'll discover that every negative emotion has multiple bads behind it, multiple opinions, ideas about that something is bad behind it. And the final recap on this is we can't really generate a negative emotion without having first created something to be bad, okay? So nothing is good or bad except by our opinion of it. and nothing is good or bad, and everything has characteristics, prices, and consequences. So let's talk about the prices, the characteristics, the prices, and the consequences, okay? So just in life, everything has a characteristic that comprises its nature, and that determines how something or entity is going to act and the effect that it produces. The characteristics of a cat differs from a horse or from a tiger or from a dog. A scorpion, a cobra, a Komodo dragon, all these things, they may be, you know, perilous to our health, but they're not bad because it's their nature. It's the nature of a scorpion to sting. It's the nature of a cobra to inject venom. And it's the nature of a dragon to tear apart if it's threatened in any kind of way. But those things aren't bad. It's just it's their nature, okay? So given these characteristics, how should we deal with the scorpion? Well, very carefully, or not at all if we have a choice. So we have to really recognize that everything has a particular feature and behaviors and that are associated with it, and we have to recognize the possible effect that these that this nature will have on us. And if we're going to deal with them, we have to deal with them accordingly, according to their nature. And that nature does not include bad. The nature is not bad. It's just part of their characteristics. So it's wise to really begin to see things in terms of characteristics, prices, and consequences, as opposed to good or bad, okay? And so because our lives are going to be filled with events, people, places, things, occurrences, and we have to begin to see them as not bad. We just have to begin to see each event as for what it is according to its nature and then to learn to deal with it according to its nature, okay? And, you know, let's take people we run into. I mean, each person has his or her nature, and that nature is going to consist of characteristics like some will be dishonest, some will be lazy, irresponsible, closed-minded, loud-mouthed, a mixture of both or a mixture of many things. And we will undoubtedly meet people who are at the effect of their negative identities. I mean, it's part of the human experience. And so these aren't bad characteristics because, again, nothing is inherently bad. Okay, but each characteristic, each nature has its prices and its consequences for the person who has them. And if we don't really understand that, we won't really know how to learn to deal with people appropriately without labeling them as bad. And we won't really be able to create the types of interactions and relationships that we desire to create. So the best thing to do is to remember this and not to create bad about traits or about the people who carry them, because the bad only clouds our mind and our logic, and it diminishes our ability to really deal with them wisely. So our goal is to learn to deal with each thing and each person according to its nature without distorting that nature with bad. So that's characteristics. Okay, prices and consequences. Okay, so a price is something we must pay before an event. Like an example is if you wanted to become a teacher, you need years of study. That's a price. And what's the consequence of that, paying that price? Well, a consequence is an effect or a result after an event. And what's the consequence of becoming a teacher? Well, you know, there's several, but some I can think of is the opportunity to shape minds, imparting knowledge and wisdom to others, contributing to their well-being, and then the esteem that results from contributing in such a positive way to other people. So everything has its characteristics, as we said, and so too does every thing and every action has its prices and its consequences, okay? So we're going to just focus on negative consequences for now, but like so the consequences of drinking too much alcohol could be hangovers, liver disease, you know, loss of self-respect, doctor bills, waste of money. You can kind of see where I'm going. The price and consequences of robbing a bank could be fear of getting caught, going to prison, loss of self-esteem. Now, are these bad? That's the question. No, but there are prices and consequences to them, okay? So consequences are a natural result of our actions, and we actually learn what works and what doesn't work by experiencing the consequences of our actions. So we don't want to take away consequences. The consequences are important in helping us begin to learn to acquire wisdom. okay? And wisdom is the ability to predict, after we've experienced many things, it's the ability to predict the consequences of our actions beforehand, and thereby the knowledge of how to produce desired results. And we can also learn through the actions of others, seeing the consequences of others when they do certain things. So we'll actually learn, see later how important acquiring wisdom really is. So nothing is good or bad, and everything has its characteristics, prices, and its consequences, okay? But it's not bad. Okay, so what are some of the solutions to bad? How do we begin to transcend this creation of bad? Okay. So there's several value systems or scales that we can use instead of good and bad, okay? And so because we can't really do away with the value polarity. It's essential to have to our experience. And the reason why is we have to have a value scale or we would have no direction towards which to move. We would have no meaningful change if we didn't have a scale to move from. So we have to have a value scale. But good and bad is actually a distortion of the positive-negative polarity, okay? So these are not the essence of the valuable polarity. Good and bad is not the essence of the value polarity. Positive and negative are, okay? And understanding this really is going to allow us to avoid creating good and bad while at the same time still retaining a value system of positive and negative, okay? So we're going to let go of the good and bad and use positive and negative. Okay, and how are we going to use positive and negative? Well, definition of positive is, in the way I'm using it is, it's something that's pleasant and it's desired or it's productive, meaning that it contributes to our purposes and objectives. Okay, negative in this sense is something that's unpleasant, but it's not desired and it's counterproductive to our purposes and to our goals. Okay, so a definition of bad, remember in the other classes, the definition of bad I stated was that it's bad is something which should not be as it is, usually because it harms something that, you know, that causes pain to good in our minds, and that thereby justifies the use of negative energy to attack, stop, change, or destroy it. So, but notice the difference here. Bad is that which should not be, and that we then want to attack with negative energy. But negative differs from bad in that it never says that the negative thing should not be and thus does not authorize any kind of negative energy to attack it or destroy it. Negative only says that this particular thing is not of interest or benefit to me at this time. I mean, it very well might be later, but at this time it's not of interest to me or benefit to me. It's not serving my objective right now. So it's negative in that sense. And I'll give you an example. Imagine you're in Texas. You want to go to New York. And somehow, by mistake, you get on the you take the road to L.A. Is the road to L.A. bad? Should it not exist? Should it not be? Should it be attacked or destroyed? No, the road is not bad. It is negative in that taking that road, it is counterproductive to our goal of getting to New York. But we leave the road there for others who want to use it. So negative is if it's counterproductive to our objectives and our goals, but it's not bad, okay? And also consider this. Consider this about all of this stuff about good, what's good and bad. Remember, there's no, as we showed before, there's no objective good or bad. So just consider this. Just take this in. Feel this. If God is by definition all-powerful, and if there was something that God thought should not exist, it would not exist. It would not be able to resist God's power. The fact that it does exist proves that all that is does not think that bad, think it's bad, and doesn't think it should not exist. So therefore, nothing that exists is bad in God's opinion. Everything that exists has the space to be as it is. And the way we deal with this is if we don't want to have an experience of something, then we can choose not to create it. Or if we already have it in our personal experience, in our psychanic universe, then we must learn how to de-energize or discreate that particular reality energetically. But all possibilities, all experiences, even all the ones that we have in our minds considered or have an opinion to be bad are valid. They're valid as God exploring the all that is, and because they are essential to our universe because of polarity. Remember, polarity is the range, the spectrum between the negative and the positive. That means everything in between and all around must exist, okay? So that's just something to consider when we're talking about bad. Okay, so one system of value is evaluating things from whether they're positive or negative. Positive meaning that they're contributing to our goals, and negative is they're counterproductive, okay? And then the second one, the last one I'm going to talk about is the other value system is love and anti-love, okay? And this is very useful in also transcending the good-bad spectrum. Okay, so we're going to evaluate in terms of love and anti-love, okay? So love would be all forms of positive energy that grows the beloved. You can feel that, grows the beloved. Oh. Okay, it includes things like raising children, creating a business, tending a garden, helping to build something, shaping a mind. It's any form that contributes to the well-being of ourselves or to others. It grows, it strengthens, it creates that which is loved. Okay, love, anti-love. It's any energy that attempts to lessen the beingness of another, of an entity. Anti-love is negative energy or actions that damage or tries to destroy anything, causing a net loss in the universe. So let me explain this. This is a little tricky, and I don't. And it may take a while to. And I have to be honest. You know, I mean, I understand it conceptually, and I understand it too on another level. But this is. I don't pretend to be so wise to know. You know, all the time when I'm creating a net loss or gain. But, I mean, I'm getting better and better as I just continue to do my work. But anyway, so to create anything, it's usually necessary to destroy something. Like if I want to build a house, then I might have to eliminate the flora around on the lot and the fauna, maybe some trees that need to be taken down. Insects may be replaced, okay? So the measure of whether an action is love or anti-love is whether there is a net gain or a net loss of positive energy in the universe. And actually, this is the part that's a little tricky because to calculate this requires great wisdom, right? And speaking of wisdom, wisdom without power and love can destroy, okay? So we can see how important it is to how important wisdom is and how important it is to learn from the consequences of our actions. So we don't want to take away people's right to experience the consequences of their actions because it's how we actually acquire wisdom. And the statement of wisdom without power, okay, for instance, let's take a dictator. I mean, they may have power, but if they don't have wisdom, I mean, they could really, you know, destroy things and it could be corrupt. So wisdom without power really can destroy. And wisdom without love, let's take someone who spoils a child and doesn't teach them how the consequences of their actions or teach them how to actually be able to, you know, make it in the world. And they become lazy and disrespectful and really don't know how to actually be here. So wisdom is very important. So that means really allowing people to be as they are and to experience the consequences of their actions is very important, okay, because it's how we actually begin to evolve, okay? So our objective really, you know, whether we know it or not, is really to, we created ourselves the opposite of our essence, and our objective now is to really return to this essence and to return to love, you could say, to this love. And so we could say the motivation really of everybody, again, whether they know or not, is to experience this essence, to experience this love. And happiness is an effect of love. It's the ultimate motivation for every action. I mean, if you really think about it, people do things because they think somehow it's going to bring them something, some happiness. They feel they need it or it's going to make their life better. Really, everybody is really motivated by this desire to be happy, okay? And so the essence of happiness is self-love. Our love for self is what determines who we are being, okay? And our being is all of these identities that we're really created about ourselves. And when we naturally love ourselves, when we are in a positive identity. Just think, I am powerful. How do you feel about yourself? How do you estimate yourself when you feel, I am wise, I am worthy, I'm wonderful, I'm beautiful? It feels good. You feel good about yourself. And we naturally, quote, anti-love ourselves when we are in a negative identity. I am weak. Oh, how does that feel? I am dumb. So it's like you begin to feel like a negative energy, and that it's counterproductive to where we're wanting to experience, which is more of this expansion experience. I am inferior. So we naturally love ourselves when we're in a positive identity. We naturally anti-love ourselves when we're in a negative identity. So who we are being determines who, you know, what we do, ultimately determines what we do. Who we're being determines our feeling, determines our thought, our thinking, and then that ends up in the sequence. Then that determines ultimately how we end up acting. So who we're being determines who we do, okay? We act according to who we are, who we are being in the moment. However, there's a loop, actually. So, however, too, in addition, what we do, so our actions also create our being. Our actions form who we are. For instance, if you steal or cheat or lie, that's an action. Then we create ourselves to be a thief or a cheat or a liar, okay? So it's like a circular loop. The identities who we're being determine our actions, but our actions also can determine our identities. Have you ever had a situation where, you know, you were confronted with something and you needed to make some action, and you may have been afraid or scared, but you did it. You stepped up and you did something different. And after you did that thing, you became a different, you created yourself to be something else, and something you were probably proud of. So be determines do, but do, our doing, also creates who we're being. And the reason I'm going into this is because one of the ways that we actually can create love in our lives is to perform acts of love, okay? Because our loving actions will create ourselves to be beings of love. We become that which we do, as I just described. So the consequence of all our doing, no matter what, really is the creation of ourselves, and it really is a loop, okay? So thus, that's why love and anti-love becomes an excellent evaluation system, okay? And when we learn to evaluate things in terms of love or anti-love, not good or bad, but love or anti-love, is this love or is this anti-love? Is this action going to create more love, or is it going to create anti-love, okay? So those two ways are ways we can begin to transcend, or using these two value systems are ways that we can begin to transcend the creation of good and bad. It's really to have as little opinion as possible about most things, and then to use the value of positive and negative, and the value system of love and anti-love to make judgments about things, okay? So that's like the beginning of transcending this creation of good and bad. And the other part of transcending creation of good and bad is to learn how to dissolve all the bads that we have already created in our past and that we're carrying around with us. And this, of course, is a lifelong process, because our subconscious is full of these bads that we've created, okay? But we can begin to learn how to de-energize these bads and transform these negative identities. So transcending, and to begin to actually to dissolve these bads, we have to come to view ourselves from a condition of space. It's almost like God gives space to everything to be as it is, and we have to sort of become as God and begin to learn to give space to all of these things that we have created that are not really serving us, okay? And space is the beginning of love, and we're going to cover space in the next week's class. But just as a recap, nothing is good or bad except in our thinking. Our thinking makes it so. Bad exists only in our minds and by our creation. bad is the doorway to suffering. It's impossible to suffer without first having created an opinion of bad. Nothing is good or bad, and everything has characteristics, prices, and consequences. Consequences are positive and negative. They are never bad. We acquire wisdom through experiencing the consequences of our actions. Without wisdom, power and love can destroy. We learn to deal with each thing according to its nature, without distorting that nature with our opinions of bad. We can transcend the creation of good and bad by using the value system of positive and negative and love and anti-love, and by learning to gradually de-energize all the bads that we have created in the past. And the first step in doing that is to come to view ourselves from a condition of space, which we will be exploring in next week's class. So that is the topic for today. That was a lot, and I suggest, you know, if you're interested in really going deeper with this, to listen to it several times, and also to, again, you can get the book Psychanics by Michael Thomas Powell. So we're going to go right into the cardiology part of the class now, and today is August 10th, 2010, and it's a Three of Diamonds birth card and ruling card because we're still in Leo territory, and all Leos have as their planetary ruling card their birth card. So they would be exaggerated versions of their card. And if you really want to get to know what someone is like, card, just look at a Leo person because they'd be really a concentrated version of that card. So a Three of Diamonds, a three is a number of creativity. Diamond is value and money. It's what we value. It's what we and it's also money. So a three of diamonds, someone who's born today would be considered to have one of the hardest life paths. The Queen of Diamonds and the Three of Diamonds are considered the hardest life paths to have, okay? And the reason why with the Three of Diamonds is their life spread has all these odd number cards, and they have a pair of sevens and a pair of nines, which often forces them onto the spiritual path. And then being a Mercury-Uranus card and having an ace of spades and Mercury, they have one of the more brilliant minds in the deck. Their mind is penetrating, they are powerful speakers, and it makes them have an interest in the deeper mysteries of life. But with this three, they're really highly creative, and so you could say creativity in making money, creativity and diversity in money, diversity in value. So they could be really good at making money at many different creative enterprises, such as design, art, performing in some manner. I actually know someone, a man who is a Three of Diamonds, and he's a photographer. And he's traveled all around the country, and he shoots, he photographs things in different parts of the country. So that would be a typical Three of Diamonds person, very creative, and he's also very spiritually oriented too. Okay, so variety, also to another trait of a three, is variety, diversity. So variety is really important to them, and they usually can have, you know, two or more professions going at the same time. And again, variety, change, and self-expression is very important to threes. Okay, it's their number one thing. And if they don't have a suitable avenue for it, it can express itself in uncertainty and worry. That's the negative side of a three, is they will worry, okay, and they'll be uncertain. And with a six of hearts, first karma card, they will have lessons to learn about the true responsibility in relationships and sex. Okay, so that's one of their challenges that they've really come in with, to learn about responsibility in relationships. So that would be something about a Three of Diamonds person, especially a Three of Diamonds born Leo. So, okay, I am going to, and just a little bit about the cards. I think people are starting to get the hang of what the card system is. It's an ancient system said to date back to Atlantis, and it's really represents our Earth's calendars, with the four suits representing the four seasons, the 13 cards in each suit representing the lunar 13 lunar cycles, and the 52 cards representing 52 weeks. And if you add up the numerical value plus the Joker, it adds up to 365 days that we and a quarter that we have in our year. And each person has a birth card and a ruling card. Scorpios have two ruling cards, and Leos, their ruling card is the same as their birth card. And when I know what someone's birth and ruling card is, it can tell me a lot about them because each card has a particular life path. So this is a system that helps you have self-understanding. And then the other wonderful, amazing thing about it is that it's also a book of records that it lists for each year, that for each card and for each year, a set of cards which represent a certain set of energies that would be present for that person. If a person knows that, they can harmonize and align themselves with these energies that are present, and it really actually makes life a lot easier to harmonize ourselves. It's like going with the flow, going with the natural rhythm of life. And when we learn how to do that, we really can become successful because we're really our energies are really aligned. And it just gives us a lot of information in terms of when it's a good time to take action and when it's a good time. Because some years are spiritual years, some years are more materially focused, and it's good to know these things. So, okay, I think I'm going to stop there and check and see if there's anyone on the line who'd like a reading. Okay, so I'm going to unmute the class, and I'm going to check. Okay, hello. Is anyone there who would like a reading?
Hello?
Okay, is anyone? I know there are people on the call. If not, I will talk about something, but I would love to give someone a reading if someone wants one.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hello?
It's Jennifer. Okay. It's Jennifer. I would love to give the opportunity to somebody else, and I don't have a particular question. I have had a reading with you before. You might want to tell me what in particular to be focusing on during this period.
Okay. So that's great. Let me see if anyone else wants to, if there's
yeah.
anyone who wants to be brave enough to. you only have to
It'll
say your first
it.
Name. You only have to say your first name. You don't have to. Okay. Going once, going twice.
Hi, it's Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Okay. So, Denise, do you have a particular question or?
Yes. I am interested in the periods that you speak about when you talk about the cards, the period that the person is in, and how to optimize that. And when that particular period ends, does the influence end or what you've established in that period, does that carry over into the next period? How effective is it once the period ends? Am I being clear?
Yeah, what a great question. That's so intelligent. Jennifer, I'm going to answer this and we'll see how far, because we have 25
okay, that
more
sounds
minutes.
Good.
Okay, but I'm sure
sounds...
I will be able to, get to you. Okay.
Okay.
So, Denise?
Yes.
Okay. So the way this works is that there are seven periods, okay, in a year, and they're 52 days each. And each period is sort of ruled by a planet, okay? So the first period is the Mercury period. The second period is the Venus period. The third is the Mars period. The fourth is the Jupiter period. And the fifth is the Saturn period. The sixth is the Uranus, and then by the end of your birthday, you have a 52 period of Neptune, okay? And I'm going to answer your question, but I want to really kind of set it up here. Now, in addition, there are five other major cards, and those cards are in effect all year long, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of keep it in mind. So you have to kind of know that they're called year-long cards because they're influencing you the entire year. So it's almost like you kind of have to be aware that you have these cards that are influencing all year, and then you have cards within a period that kind of actually, in each period, actually there's a mean different things or rule certain areas of life, okay?
Yes.
So, okay. So the Mercury period rules communication, and it's shared ideas, And it's really kind of helpful for all relationships, but it's very quick because Mercury is very quick. So anything that happens, and it's the first period of the year, so things are just sort of settling in.
Mm-hmm.
So for that period, anything that usually happens during that period, or if it's something new that comes up, it's usually some kind of quick thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's quick and then it leaves, okay? But it still is in effect in terms of, like, say, if someone's, you know, card shows up in that period, you will know that for that year you're probably going to have good communication with that person. You
very
see
good.
What I'm saying? So yeah. it some of the events that happen might be quick or just related to Mercury, but at the same time, if there are certain people who show up there, that means you're going to have that particular area of that period will sort of be in effect all year, okay?
Okay.
And then actually as the year progresses, then that period, so each period sort of kind of dominates during the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then you go into Venus. And whatever, so Venus rules the area of love and close friendships and women, okay? So it's about our relationships with women, and it's love, and it's also anything that happens in the home, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you see different cards there, you know that these energies are pointing to maybe possibilities that may happen in the home, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, you could have a 9 in Venus, and a 9 is usually a completion or graduation, and a 9 in Venus may mean that you spend a lot of money, or it's also letting go of something. It could be either that you move, you leave that house and move to another house, or it could be that you purchase something, like a 9 of Diamonds. It's like money going out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Could be you purchase something for the home, okay? So, you know, they have different meanings, but whatever, it would pertain to something in the home. Okay, and a 9 in Venus could also mean somebody dies in the home because it's a completion. It'd be a pet that died. So each, you know, card has several meanings, and I read in terms of the context to each person's life. But again, if someone you know's card is in Venus, then that means you're going to have a good relationship with them for probably the rest of the year, okay? Unless they have another one of their cards that shows up in another period that means something else. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So, and then Mars is the period where it's going to point to things for the year of anything, any kind of legal, if you're in any kind of legal situation, it shows the energies present that are either going to support you or tell you, oh, it's not a good time to get into any kind of legal situation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it also represents our relationships with men, and it also represents, you know, our anger, our passion, our lust, okay? So, and for women, you know, if there's a card there of some man she likes, that means that she could have a good possible marriage connection with that person. So that would be something you would notice all year, but there might be certain energies that are events that take place that would be sort of ruled by the cards that are in Mars for that period. So to answer your question, really, it's both. It represents things that are probably going to be activities that may be happening during that period,
mm-hmm.
but it also is in effect in terms of you can see what kind of Mars relationships you're going to have, or it points to the types of relationships you might have with men for the entire year.
Okay. And this starting point is your birthday to birthday, not January to January.
Exactly. It's always your birthday to your birthday.
Okay.
And actually the most powerful card for this is your long range card. And that card is in effect all year. And the long-range card is really, it's what we're, so it's like an overview in terms of what we're really focused on for the year, okay?
Yes.
And so, and then the Pluto card is really what's our challenge for the year, and that's in effect all year too. And the result is always connected to the Pluto because it's like in order to get this result, we really have to work through whatever this particular challenge is that the Pluto card points to, okay?
Yes.
And then we always have a card during the year that's a blessing, which is our environment card. And so we can always look to that card and see what the energies are there. And when we're feeling a little down, we can just kind of remember, well, we're, you know, life's always given us blessings.
Yes.
And then the other last year-long card is the displacement, which is something we need to be paying attention to for the year. We need to give it some attention, and we need to be doing that thing, okay? It's probably something we've, like, not paid attention to before in the past, and it's something that this year that we, if we put our time and focus and attention to it, it will actually sort of evolve us and expand us in the ways that we need. And I just, and you know, and I, people, I will talk about Saturn because that's the period that most people fear. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, Saturn is sort of like getting a name.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just say, I remember last year when I was in Saturn, I actually felt like I had a more easier Saturn period than I did a Jupiter period. So I think it really does depend. But again, as I said last time, I'm like a quadruple Capricorn, so I'm used to Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't affect me in the same way that most people do, because
mm-hmm.
I'm sort of a hard worker anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But and I have so much Saturn energy, it just kind of feels natural to me.
Yeah.
And but Saturn is usually the period. So you may have like some wonderful cards in Venus just to sort of more deeply answer your question. And then Saturn may come along,
mm-hmm.
and you may have some challenging cards in Saturn. Well, you're still going to experience the challenges in Saturn, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And but so Saturn really is really the cards that the energies there really are there out of necessity, because it's going to tell us where we need to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can begin to look at Saturn as our teacher, then we won't be so afraid of it. And we'll see is, oh, I get to learn something, or I get to, like, really deeply embody something here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times in Saturn, you'll experience karmic relationships, karmic things. It can feel like a restriction or a burden, but really it's because it's really having us come into a deeper understanding or a deeper learning about something. And usually once we get past our Saturn period of a year, remember I talked about that challenge card, the Pluto card, usually when we get past Saturn, we've kind of done a lot of we also kind of worked through a lot of the challenges, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And usually, you know, by the end of Saturn, people are so relieved. They're like, Uranus is just, oh, they're just happy to be in Uranus. So,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah. So, did that answer your question?
Yes. And would it behoove someone to arrange start a business or do things in a Venus-Jupiter period to sort of anchor that energy in their decision and then move through the rest of the year as it comes?
Absolutely. In fact, for business and for money, you want to look at your Jupiter cards. You want to see what energies are present in Jupiter. And you can, and so this is how, one of the reasons why I love this system, because you can plan. You can really learn to plan. And, like, if you want to start a business and you look at your Jupiter cards and you prepare yourself, you know, or you can look at cards in any period and see, you know, cards in Jupiter are always beneficial. Just so you know, if they fall in the Jupiter period, that means it's always going to be beneficial in some kind of way, okay?
Okay.
And I, for instance, I have an Ace of Spades. I mean, in my, you know, in my birth card and my ruling card, and one of them I have an Ace of Spades and a Two of Diamonds in Jupiter. I'm in Jupiter now. I'm almost at the end of my Jupiter period.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that an Ace of Spades is the symbol for this card system.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of knew that if I started or did business with the car system, that it would benefit me.
Okay.
And I didn't know exactly how, but I knew. And so I prepared myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I would be doing this teleclass, and I prepared myself to be doing it. I think I started a couple of days before Jupiter, but because, you know, I wanted to do it on a Tuesday, and it was the closest day. But I knew it would benefit me.
Mm-hmm.
And the Two of Diamonds, it could be business partnership. So I was, like, on the lookout. I was kind of open to what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, each card has multiple meanings. And but also, too, it also represents people.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who's an Ace of Spades, and so I knew that that person would be a blessing in my life,
mm-hmm.
okay, for the year.
Okay.
Okay. And also, too, I'll just say one last part that I didn't expect at all as a when I looked at the cards beforehand. Ace of Spades, so is also so any ace is something new.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see an ace in somewhere, that would be a good period to start something,
because
you know, okay, this is the beginning of something. And if you start it, then it would be successful. But it, particularly if you start something in Jupiter, is usually always successful. But so I was focused on the business aspect, and I knew this friend of mine was Ace of Spades, and so I was like, okay, yeah. But but Ace of Spades is on the mundane level is new work. And it also represents, like I said, this card system, but it's also the biggest card of transformation you could have. Okay, and it's a quick transformation, and it's a quick ending and a new beginning, right? Right, one right after the other. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I ran into this friend of mine who was a Two of Diamonds, and I've been experiencing a transformation in our relationship.
Okay.
Now I could not have predicted that. I did not predict. In fact, if you had told me this, I would have said, no way.
Mm-hmm.
So you just never know, you know. So that's why it's like a blueprint in a way, just for the types of energies, but you don't know exactly how it's unfolding. It's still this mystery, and that's
mm-hmm.
what's really beautiful about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life is always going to be this mystery. It doesn't take away from the mystery of life,
mm-hmm.
but it just kind of prepares one to allow, you know, the energies to work in our lives.
Yes.
In a way that is, like I said, a positive way that's going to be beneficial, so we're not working against them, right? We're working with them so that they actually can contribute and to our goals and objectives.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Are you complete, Denise? Is that satisfy
complete.
You?
I think probably contact you to go over my periods, push into them a little bit deeper so that I can plan.
Okay. Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay,
thank
Denise.
Thank you very much, Clarissa.
You're welcome. All right, Jennifer?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. Good.
Okay, so you wanted to know something about the period you're in right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me look up your breaths again. And for those who may be listening who want to learn how to do this system yourself, Jennifer's birthday is February 11th, 1947, and she's 63, I believe. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. So today is August 10th, and you are in your Jupiter period. Yahoo!
Yay!
Got to make the most of these Jupiter energies. They're blessings. Okay, so you went into Jupiter July 17th. And you
yes.
will be in Jupiter until September 7th, okay? So you got about a month, you know, 4 weeks of really harmonizing yourself with that. And let me see what cards you have in Jupiter here, okay? Okay. So Jennifer is an Ace of Spades, Nine of Spades. She's a double spades. Ace of Spades was that card of transformation I was talking about. That's a very powerful card. You chose a very powerful card to be born under. Okay. So you're in Jupiter, and wow, you've got an Eight of Diamonds, one of the best money cards to have in Jupiter. The best money cards to have in Jupiter are Eight of Diamonds and the Ten of Diamonds and the Seven of Diamonds. But with the Seven of Diamonds is the millionaire's card. With the Seven of Diamonds, you have to really, it's about really going to the spiritual side, which is gratitude. It's right, really knowing that, you know, the universe is supporting us, it's prosperity consciousness. And once someone really embodies the Seven of Diamonds prosperity consciousness, they can really open up to a lot of money. So Seven of Diamonds, Eight of Diamonds, Ten of Diamonds. So an Eight of Diamonds usually means we're going to have not more than we need, but we're going to have money to buy something that we want or something that we need. It could be a car, it could be a house, it could just be something even a little bit less than that. But somehow there's going to be money. Money is possible. Now, also, too, with in Jupiter, see, this is why it's really good to can be good to plan ahead, because say, like, if you have a business, but, like, if you're on a fixed income and if you have no way for the money to come to you, a lot of times you may not feel this as much. So it's like when you have a business and you have lots of products, or you have different ways for money to actually come to you, you can, you know, the chances of experiencing it may be more. But there's also always with Jupiter, you know, you may not even know where the money could come from. But this would be a good period where money should be coming to you. Now, you have an Ace of Clubs underlying this. And so this would be, remember I said aces are new, and if you were to start something new during this period, it would be successful, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you started anything new, whether it's a business or you started a schooling or a training or, you know, just any kind of new project, it would be successful because it's in Jupiter, and it's under this Eight of Diamonds. So, you know, that would be great. And also it could represent somebody in your life. We have to also look and see if people we know show up in the cards this way. And so do you know Ace of Clubs?
I just happen to. My partner is an Ace of Clubs.
Okay. Also, it could potentially mean that he makes money, that he is a source of money for you. He's a benefit. He's a blessing. When our partner shows up in our Jupiter period, that means they're a benefit to us some kind of way. And with this Eight of Diamonds here, somehow he's probably going to be making some money and sharing it with you. That's also a possibility. So there's several possibilities, but they're all good. You know, it's all good. Now let me look in your Nine of Spades ruling card because that's just as important. Well, whammo, he is showing up again. You got an Ace of Clubs and an Ace of Hearts in Jupiter this period in your Nine of Spades ruling card. That's a lot of new energy, new knowledge on the basic level. So starting something new where you may be dispensing information to people, dispensing knowledge to people. And then you got an Ace of Hearts, and Ace of Hearts is it's really, you know, a search for love. It's a new, it's like searching for love, but really self-love. It's like reaching inside of ourselves and really discovering that which we love. So it could be you discovering and really reaching inside of yourself to discover what it is that you love, maybe to even be giving to other people. Like what do you love to, what would be a business that you would love to do that would allow you to be able to dispense information to people? So that's on a, like a general business level, on a maybe relationship level, since it's a heart. It could be, you know, a new way in which you come to love yourself, or a new way in which you come to love yourself in your relationship with your partner, or you have a new love for him. You see, you're getting the drift? So it could also mean that too. Okay?
Yeah, it fits very well. Yeah, that's true. Both in the self love and loving my partner in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, things are true.
Yeah, because the karma card of the Ace of Clubs, which sits underneath it, is the Two of Hearts, and that's the lover's card. That's coming together with either someone you love dearly, a very close friend, or it's about two lovers coming together. So it's like, you know, this some kind of new way in which you're loving each other seems to be fitting in here. Let me look and see. And you've got a nine underneath that Ace of Hearts. So I also think it's probably letting go of some old ways, too, and come, you know, that you had been, you know, loving yourself and then allowing yourself to really, really come into self-love in a deeper way. Okay? And then in your Ace, going back to your Ace of Spades, let me see if I can see some underlying cards to give you a little bit more information. Interesting. Okay, you've got a Eight of Hearts underneath this Eight of Diamonds. This would be a really good time to get out into the public and let people... really know, to let people know who you are and what you're doing. It's the card of social charm and power, okay? But you've got these, like, you've got an Eight of Diamonds, and then directly underneath it is an Eight. You've got these two Eights, which is a lot of power and a lot of focus. And Eight Hearts is really about, I mean, it's like a playgirl card. You know, you can charm the pants off somebody. And for business, you kind of need that. You know, it's a good thing to have. So if you get the opportunity, so, you know, you don't want to force anything, but if you get the opportunity to go and be in front of groups, or to talk about, you know, who you are and what you do, that's a sign you want to take it. You want to take full advantage of that. Like, if you get invited to someplace, go. Really, even if you don't feel like, go, okay? Because it will benefit you. It will really benefit you in some way. And you've got this Ace of Clubs again with the Two of Hearts. So, you know, I think it's probably going to be a combination of everything, you know, of your partner and him contributing to you in such a blessed way, and you actually coming into your power and focus about what it is that you want to offer and contribute to the world.
Yes, it feels, that all feels like what's in the works. It feels, it feels like all of this is in motion during this period of time. I was not particularly aware of preparing for this time, but there are new interests, new possibilities for teaching about that. I'm certainly becoming more social again, which is coming out of a hermit phase. So it all seems to be in motion, and certainly the relationship is a source of has shifted in a major way. And I feel as if I'm letting go of some old patterns around how I care about myself. So really, very much of what you've said. I'm going to listen to this several times. It feels like a very powerful and fruitful time.
Go ahead.
I wonder if you mentioned, which was really helpful to me, the cards underlying, and I don't think you've mentioned that on this call before, if you want to say something about what that means.
It's sort of an advanced part. You have to kind of, it's advanced training. So when I do readings for people, I always, take into account their underlying cards. I mean, even if you're in the book, you don't see the underlying cards. I mean, you can see the underlying card of the long-range cards if you know how to read them, but there are even underlying cards underneath that. And it's just the way the system is quadrated. It's really it's not complicated, but it's complex. And, I mean, they're quadrated in a certain way, and you have to know how to read the tables. And then you have to know how to read the underlying cards. And the underlying cards have to do with karma cards. It's too complicated to explain, but just, you know that when I give readings to people, I take into account, because it gives you, like, a lot more information. It gives you more specific information.
Yeah, it gives, it certainly gives a boost, gives power to the general focus of the cards on top.
Yeah, and just so you know, your long-range cards are about teaching for in your nine. But you got a nine of clubs, ten of clubs. Well, that's a nine is giving away, letting go, giving knowledge to people, and a ten of clubs is being a teacher. So I kind of suspect by the time this kind of unfolds, by the end of your birthday, by the time your birthday comes around, you'll have a more clear idea about, you know, what you might want to be offering to the world. So, and then, you know, in Ace of Spades, you got a Two of Diamonds long range, and that's definitely partnership. So it's, and a Queen of Clubs. So, you know, you got a lot of this club, this information, dispensing information, and the Queen of Clubs is, you know, it's a really listening to your intuition and then learning how to actually share that information that you receive from your intuition with others. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this coming out of that, I could see you coming out of this period where you've been sort of just like taking things in and really letting things digest and gestate, and now you're coming out of that and coming into becoming probably, you know, gradually more visible out to the world into what it is you actually have come here to do. So that's I just wanted to put that part in there.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Very helpful. Very, very inspiring, motivating.
Oh,
thanks.
Great. Yeah, I love to inspire and motivate.
I know you do.
I'm creating myself to be a motivator. It's love, not it's love. Yeah, we have have to laugh at these
love.
Things. Yeah,
yeah,
but yeah, true. I mean, you know, it's like this. It's, you know, anytime that I'm like, I'm going for the love kick. I wrote on Facebook a few days ago about how I realized, you know, I'm on the love train. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm just about ashamed to admit, say it, but I'm on the love track. Yep. Might as well just own it and say, okay, I'm doing everything in my power to keep moving myself in that direction.
And everybody else along with you.
Yep. Hey, amen.
Yeah. That is the most fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, my dear, dear participants, it's been a blast. I really, really enjoyed this class, and thank you so much for allowing me to contribute to your lives and for you to contribute to mine. You really, it means so much to me, and I get so much from it. So I really, really thank all of you, and even all of you who I've are listening to the recordings. I've heard from several people who are listening to the recordings, and I really appreciate you allowing me to be a part of your life. So everyone, have a really wonderful, wonderful day, and I'll be here next week, same time.
Thank you, Clarissa.
You're
very
welcome.
Much.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.